Hello, world. Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 186. I'm creator and host, Don Hutchison. Every day, I interview someone from around the world who has discovered her talents to do work she loves, to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Today, I'm delighted to bring you our featured guest, Hilda Larson. Welcome, Hilda.
Well, thank you so much.
Hilda, are you using your talents doing work that you love?
Yes, indeed.
Alrighty, we want to hear the whole story. Hilda Larson is a certified health and wellness coach and a detox specialist with a burning passion for life and the power we all hold within. She has gone through severe illness, pain, and suffering, and is now helping others find their true health and passion to go from surviving to thriving. The last 10 years, she has spent her time studying health and healing on all levels. Her strength is that she has firsthand experience. She is currently writing a series of 5 books, which will include her own journey from hell to inspired, detoxification, nature's ability to heal, and raw food living. Hilda, that's a summary of your career to date. Tell us what you're working on now that has you inspired and engaged, if you would, please.
Well, nothing engages me or inspires me like working one-on-one with people to see that what I can contribute with actually changes lives. And that is my whole passion through this. Working with clients is my main goal, and everything else that I do is just like branches out of that same tree. So right now, I am actually traveling between Norway and Naples, Florida, since I have a residence there also, and fortunate enough to be able to carry my work with me as I work online mostly. And that way my clients can have my support and I can be out there and explore the world and have the best of both worlds, the way I see it. Yeah, so that's the freedom for me also.
How long have you had a place in Naples?
Well, that's not even going on a full year yet. So that is new to me and a real treasure.
How did you decide that? How did you pick Naples, Florida?
Well, I lived in Florida for 3 years when I was very young or in my youth. Educated myself over there, and Florida really never left my heart. Norway is great, and I love that, but going back to Florida has always been a big pleasure of mine, and bringing back my family, and then the winters here are, you know, pretty harsh now and then, so it's great to have a sunshine state to go to.
Yeah, tell us about the winters in Norway. What I imagine from films and just knowing a little bit about it, it gets pretty overcast and stays very dark and very cold for many months, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, Norway is a pretty long country. It's from all the way up north and down to Denmark. And the difference from the north to the south of Norway is pretty big. So way up north, that would be a pretty accurate picture. It gets very dark in the winter. The sun doesn't get up at all for several months. They do have the sun all through the day and night during the summer, though. But where I live, I would say it's more like New Yorkish. It's like an upstate, typical American winter. You get some snow and then sometimes you don't as much, and we have pretty wild winters here, I would say.
But you do get a regular amount of sunshine.
Yes, we do. We have much shorter days than we have during the summer. Now, sun can get up from like 9:30 in the morning until like 3:30, 4 o'clock p.m. Okay. You know, which is short compared to getting up at 6 a.m. in the summer and not going down to like 11 p.m.
Oh, my word.
Closer to midnight, yeah.
Yes, yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that sounds like a good balance of your time and your energies being in both places. So how many months of the year are you in Naples?
Well, right now we're just trying this out, and my husband still has an office job here. So it's me. I think this year it'll be like 3 months total in Naples. And then I'll see how much I can get away. And Norway still has that amazing nature that is hard to give up.
Yes, I understand.
Yes.
Well, as you well know, everyone's life journey is composed of a series of turning points, some call them passages, and at these times we're each faced with obstacles and opportunities and choices that determine the next 5 or 6 or 7 years of our lives. So would you share with our listeners the more memorable and impactful turning points in the life of Hilda Larson? Go back as far as you will.
Okay. Well, I had a very typical upbringing, I would say, very typical Western upbringing. As far as my mom and dad and 2 siblings, I had 2 sisters, and I had a good life and no big major traumas, just a regular family getting by, both parents working. And Being the oldest, I was very early on led to believe that I could take charge, and there was a lot of things expected from me. And you kind of get conditioned to be that good girl that masters everything, and only being very good is good enough. So I think what I took with me was that eagerness to please, to be a people pleaser, and to be successful. Not necessarily from my heart, but more from the outside expectations on me. The feeling that there was an expectation that I had to live up to. So I brought that with me. I can see that very clearly. And I broke out of Norway. I went to Florida when I was just turning 18. And I educated myself as an interior architect, ending up designing cruise ships over there. So very early, I was very good at what I was doing. And I was easily successful at tasks like that.
Did you have formal training on the cruise ship design, or how did you figure that out?
Well, actually, I was at that point engaged to the son of a cruise ship owner. I was like in that environment. So I was employed there after my education. Actually, this was the 80s. At that time, Norway and Norwegians was very big in designing cruise ships and owning cruise ships. Like the cruise ship industry was very Norway influenced.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that was very typical, actually. And I longed for home, and I think that was the big turning point when you live an asset life for a young person, and then you just decide, I need to go home. So bye, taking my suitcase, and that's it. And I just started all over again.
Ah, and so when you got back to Norway, what did you do?
Well, I started working as an interior architect, and I ended up building a pretty good business on that, designing restaurants and hotels. At the same time, I was being co-owner of a health studio, an aerobic and a spinning studio. So I was very actively active. Like looking back, you know, when you have those people that are just don't stop, they just keep going. So it was very typical. I was working out at night, being perfectly fitness, and then working during the day. I had two beautiful children, got a house, everything just lined up. And
which city were you living in?
Stavanger. So it's my whole life while I've been in Norway, born and raised, has always been in the same city.
In Stavanger.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty.
So I did that for many years. I was 15 years in that business, all the way until my really big turning point came. And that was when I got sick and sicker and sicker.
And how old were you then?
I was 38-ish when it started to be as bad as I couldn't work full time anymore. So around 38, I think I was diagnosed at 38, 39.
What was the diagnosis? What were the symptoms?
Well, the symptoms were many, and they had been going on for years. Like I had had a lot of gastrointestinal problems. I'd had headaches and a lot of lingering symptoms. But I was diagnosed with severe rheumatoid arthritis in 2004. And then about a year later with Lyme's disease also on top of that.
Tell us about each of those diseases just a little bit. I know just a little bit, but I'd like to know more. So what about rheumatoid arthritis?
Well, knowing what I know now, there really is no disease, and it doesn't really tell much about that label. But what the symptomology is typically is that your joints get very inflamed, swollen, and you can't use them, and they start deteriorating and deform as a reflection on having the inflammation for so long. And the Lyme's disease is what is believed to be transmitted by a tick, a spirochete, which is called Borrelia. And what it does is hides in your body, and it mimics a lot of symptoms. It can mimic anything from arthritis to heart failure to edema, fatigue. I think almost any diagnosis you can get today could be just tricked by the Lyme in the body.
Good heavens. So you obviously spent some time outside, and that's where you were affected by the tick, right?
Well, of course, yeah. We grow up, we are a lot outside here, and there are a lot of ticks in Norway. But now I don't want to discourage people from being outside, because I am not even sure anymore that the tick is the real problem, because okay, my body was a host for all of these things. And looking back, you are just so impacted with toxins and so negatively charged, you know, as far as the flow of energy and life, that almost anything, something will just get you. Your symptoms will show up where you have your weakest. So for me, that was my weakest link, was my joints and the typical rheumatoid symptomology.
Right. If you went to traditional medicine, what did that try to do to cure your situation?
Well, I was very much in that mindset, and I went to my doctor, which most people do, and they do not cure, because it is called an incurable or chronic disease. What they do is they try to medicate the symptoms to go down so that you can have less pain and can move around a little bit. So I went through that for, well, 3-4 years, and I was so medicated I couldn't even sit up. So did that.
Yeah, that's the traditional Western approach to illness, right?
Yeah, I know it is.
It's amazing. Big pharmaceuticals is a $57 billion industry last year in this country.
I know it is.
It's just amazing. Well, okay, so when did you start thinking for yourself?
Well, you know, even when I got so sick and I was going on so many medications, I still thought that I could just pick another career that may be a little slower and just keep on going, because I was all about the doing and the kind of labeling myself from my diploma on the wall. So I just started university and educated me towards being a journalist, which I almost completed, but my body was just not following me. And
excuse me for interrupting. How did you do this when you were working on your designing restaurants and hotels, and then you were the co-owner of a health store? Did you evolve past that so you were at a different place?
No. Yeah. I had to stop all of that and go into, like, I don't know what you call it. Like, it's like a temporary disability where you get paid and then they look at your situation to see if there's something else that you can do.
Okay.
So I had to give up my company, which was devastating at the time, and take some time out and then just go back to school.
Okay.
So that's when I started at the university for journalism.
Okay.
But it was still in my mind, so I was forcing myself to do all this, although my body was clearly saying I could not. So at one point of time, I was just so sick and tired of being sick and tired that I just sat down and I told my husband, I am laying here until one out of two things happen. Either I die or I get healthy. Because I cannot do this anymore. This is not living. This is pure pain and suffering.
Yes. How many years ago was this?
This was in 2007.
Wow, what happened?
Well, what happened was I had this vision or dream, if you like, that all my medications was in this big bowl that exploded. I just woke up one morning and I said, I cannot do this anymore. It was like something within me said, this is not the way. I mean, I was getting sicker and sicker. I was in and out of hospitals and my heart wasn't beating right. Nothing was functioning. And I could just feel that my soul was so strong, but my body just couldn't stay present. So I just decided to stop all medication overnight on my own account. Nobody told me to, and I didn't. It was just me being too tired of living the way I was living. Mm-hmm. So once I did that, then I got really sick, because some of those medications had, of course, been suppressing a lot of my symptoms, a lot of the inflamed joints, and actually feeding them. So when you take yourself off of it, it's kind of like this train that's hitting you from behind. You're stopping, and then it just keeps coming. So I ended up close to 2 years in bed on the second floor of the house, and I was so inflamed I could hardly open my mouth. You know, my husband, he juiced and put food beside me when he went to work. And then I just laid there, just knowing that something would have to give. It's like I had this inner spirit in me that told me that you were born healthy. It's natural to be healthy. And if you have been healthy at one point, then you can be again. It's like I could not believe that something had been permanently broken.
Yeah, I hear that. 2 years. That's a long time.
It is.
So what happened?
Well, thank God for internet. That's what I'm saying. There was no Facebook at that time, but there was a place called CureZone and there were forums. And then I started studying. Luckily, I am very stubborn and determined. And I just kept on going. It was like I just kept on searching and reading and searching and engaging and trying and buying and ordering everything I could come across, books, herbs, little things and nuggets. And then slowly over several years, it was like the veil lifted. And then I was guided to more and more of the easier way, understanding more how the body works. And yeah, and here I am, just living again.
Yes, yes. Well, it's amazing how much of everything, these various diseases and maladies just being attacks when our immune system is strong, which it's really not, it's almost never, especially in this country. We're just vulnerable to everything.
Yeah, well, you could look at it this way. The immune system is nothing more than the lymphatic system in the body. And the lymphatic system is what's supposed to take out all the garbage. It's the body's sewer system. And what's happening to us is that we're getting so clogged up that the kidneys are not filtering out the sewer system and it's not moving. So we're just burning up in our own waste. And the difference between one person and another, and the difference between one having one symptom and another having another, is simply the weakness in the body, what you brought with you in there. You know, it's like if you have a weak lining in your stomach, then that's going to hit you first. I mean, that's where you're going to burn first, from your own lymphatic waste. Mm-hmm. So when you look at it simple like that, and when I realized that, that's when I thought, oh my God, well, then health is really simple. You know, it's hard to do, but it's really simple. It's not complicated at all.
Well, we'll talk about that just another minute. I think that's the whole point of the exercise, is what you just said there. I read something not too long ago that said in America, go to the bathroom every time we relieve ourselves, we excrete over 210 toxins, 210. Mm-hmm. And those are pesticides and herbicides and all kinds of different flavorings in foods, and it's a chemical wasteland that we ingest every day in most of the foods we eat.
Sadly, it is. And of course, if you go to the supermarket and today, most of it is packaged and labeled and has ingredients you can't even pronounce. And most of it, your great grandma wouldn't even recognize as food.
Oh, no. I was at the store the other day, what's known as a good store, and I was just going to get some. I try not to eat too many canned foods because I like to cook my own. But anyway, I just want some black beans, just some organic black beans. So I got a couple of cans of that, and I noticed I picked up another brand. And in the organic black beans, the ingredients were beans, sea salt, and water. In the other can of black beans, there were 13 ingredients.
There you go.
And none of those ingredients, they were all chemicals for taste and preservatives. And if you ask 10 people in our country about that, 9.5 of them wouldn't even know that that's the case.
No, and I think that is the bottom line troubles that we're in. It's the lack of awareness, because we are led to believe and we're conditioned to trust whoever puts things out there in front of us. And that is the core of what I'm doing, is awareness building, taking back the power and actually trusting yourself. Not only that, but taking charge. Even if the world is like that, it is your responsibility to take care of you.
Yes. Well, as evidenced by the fact that I'm sure you saw this, to your horror and our horror, the FDA just approved GMO modified salmon in the oceans.
I
mean, can you imagine anything more insane? First of all, we have GMO modified foods, which is insane. And we're fighting to get labeling, and they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to not let that happen. And then we do this GMO salmon. So it's just this amazing, challenging. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy out there. And it is challenging for people. And I understand that. It's very challenging because there's so much information. Also, I mean, so many people are speaking, and I mean, they don't know who to believe.
No. Well, everybody's going so hard and so fast and working so hard. And it's just hard to dig deep and go down unless you get ill like you did. Or I took charge of my own health a number of years, too. And until you take that responsibility on yourself, you just have to say, well, I'm sure it's all right. And I'll just go along and I'm sure the foods are OK.
Yeah. And usually we need to get hit pretty hard to change, because change is hard. So I see most people really need to hurt before they do that. They need to scare, or they need to hurt. Something almost traumatic needs to happen for change to come in.
Well, exactly right. And that's the reason, as you said earlier, this internet is such an amazing thing, because there's so many groups and organizations that have taken up the cause. We have, I'm sure you've heard of Vani Hara here, Food Babe, and just this one young woman in North Carolina has gotten Subway to take paint dye, if you can imagine, out of their breads. What are they doing putting paint dye in breads? Well, it was just a filler. And people are calling, blowing the whistle on the way that animals are farmed and the inhumane practices of all of that, all animals, and the antibiotics that they use and the GMO feeds that they feed all these animals that end up back in our stomachs. So
I know. If people only knew, but that's what I always say. The further we go away from nature, the more trouble we're in. Because our body is designed to heal itself and it's designed to clean itself. But
exactly.
Now we need detoxification programs. We need detoxification guidelines. And we need guidelines on what to eat. We're the only species on this planet that doesn't naturally know what to eat.
Right.
We've lost the ability to know that. We're confused and so numbed and dumbed down by all from fluoride in the water.
Yes.
To pesticides and fungicides and herbicides. And you name it.
Right.
And on top of the unfoods and the cooked and the stored and the pasteurized and the stress, you know, not talking about the stress and sitting inside and the EMRF, the computer, the Wi-Fi. There are so many things coming at us from the outside by our lifestyle that it's more crucial than ever to be aware and to actually actively help your body detoxify, because it has to. If not, you're going to end up as sick as I was.
Yes, precisely. Well, let me ask you this. The statistics are pretty staggering, going back to the theme of the podcast, that the majority of people around the world, according to the Gallup surveys for several decades and others, that most people are not in their, what I call the sweet spot. They're not doing what they love. They're not using their talents, their skills, their abilities. They're not in sync with who they are. And in this country, it's in the 70s percentile, land of opportunity. So most people, when asked, are you using your, doing what you do best every day? Most people answer no. What do you think that is from your journey and your experience and your life experience? What's that about?
Well, yeah. Are you asking me what I think it is about that I do or that people don't?
That people don't.
That people don't. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think they are mostly driven by fear of not doing what they're expected to do. Mm-hmm. You had to remember we're conditioned all the way from schooling to do good or bad and get voted. And then the stereotype society are telling us what is a good profession and what is not so good and what you can live on and what you can't. And we're not really told that following our hearts is necessarily what should be prioritized. So I think there's a lot of that fear of breaking out of the system, so yes, to speak. And that's what I see in my life. I was the same way. I was exactly the same way. I always did what I was talented at, but it was not driven from my heart, from my passion. It was driven mentally. It was driven intellectually. Mm-hmm. Because the intellect and the passion driven from the heart, the connection to source, they're two totally different things.
I couldn't agree more. Tell listeners what you mean by that.
Well, when you're driven by the mental, by your intellect, you're driven by things that you can resonate to, things that makes sense in a either money-based system or a power-based system, or you just wanting to look good or do what's expected of you. It's from something that's outside of you, the connection of who you really are, the spirit of who you are. But if you're driven from the heart, then none of that really matters, because you're connected to who you are and your creator, whatever you perceive that to be. Mm-hmm. And that is a whole different drive, because that is an inner passion that you cannot stop. It will never be a stressful situation when you're in that zone. It's like I started working and I started living, and I have done my best quote unquote work while not working. So I see that when you stop caring what other people might think and you dare to listen to your own voice, that's when the magic happens.
Yes. What have been the most distinct takeaways or benefits to Hilda Larsen doing what you just said, listening to your own voice? What have been the best benefits in your life to living a life on your own terms?
Oh my, that's many. Well, once I became fearless, because when you become fearless, then there's nothing that can stop you, because there's so much that goes back to fear. Every type of fear of failure has that connected to each other. So for me, of course, the aspects were on all of my life, because I was just ready to give up everything. I couldn't take anything of it. So for me, it's been everything from my health, my love for life, my love for nature, my spiritual connection, my connection with source, my humbleness, and all linking to that true freedom that I feel. I actually feel free.
Yes.
And it is hard to explain that freedom feeling, but I think it has to do with that disconnecting from what others think. I think we're so linked to that, that once you do that, I think it will just give you a raise in the part of your life that needs it, because it really cannot be separated the way I see it. It's all linked together, the mental world and the spiritual world and the physical world and the body and my work and the love and the family. You know, everything is connected.
What would you say to listeners around the world, wherever they are in their lives and careers, whether they're 18 or 80, what would you say to listeners if this message is resonating with them and they're saying, I want more of that. I do feel like I've been more outer directed and not inner directed. How would you suggest that they find that, go to that source? What would you say?
Well, the first key that I learned was stillness. We're so driven by a mind, like a monkey mind, that is constantly talking and nagging. And I believe that we're actually talking to ourselves and saying the same things to ourselves over and over again, almost every day. It's like 80% is the same thing.
Yes.
So if you can just still the mind, work on that, sit down, meditate, make little pockets for yourself. If you have a schedule, make room, say me time, and make 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there, and then just sit and be still and have an intention to do that. That is one thing. The other thing is to start little funny things like getting a journal and writing down every night five things that you're grateful for, shifting your perspective a little bit, seeing that there are things out there greater than you, and shifting from me, me, me to how can I serve? How can I serve? I think that is a big one.
No, I think those are all big ones. I think you're exactly right. Tolle talks about the egoic mind being repetitive to even the tune of 90%, just repetitive thoughts.
There you go.
Just doing, and going. And quiet time, especially today with, you know, the great thing about the internet is information. The downside is no still time or not enough still time.
I know. Because what comes out of that is that you can connect with what you really want. Because there are many things you can do to be bold enough, to be fearless, to go after what you want. But most people I see today, they actually do not even know what they want because they're so disconnected that if you ask them, but what do you want? What is your passion? Then there is this search for, oh, what should I answer? What is it? Now? You know?
Yes.
So
yes.
Once you get really still and sit with yourself, you'll see that most often it is a lack of self-love. It is a lack of self-confidence blooming from that. People have a problem looking themselves in the mirror saying, I love you.
Yes, that's a huge point. They really don't do that and don't know how to do that.
No.
It's pretty amazing. So have there been books? You're obviously a student and a scholar. Are there books that you have read that have been inspiring and useful?
Oh, absolutely. Many. I mean, too many to even start to mention. But when you ask like that and listeners might search for where to start, if that should be an inspiration, then I would definitely say that Louise Hay has been a big inspiration for me. And she writes in a very down-to-earth, layman's way, easy to understand from wherever you are. So Louise Hay, she has several. Heal Your Life is one of them, which I think I read about 400 times. I don't even think it's repairable anymore. And then, of course, you have the Esther and Jerry Hicks books, the different ones, the Law of Attraction, which also, you know, it can help you shift perspective a little bit. I think it's important to start where you can see where the power lays, where the responsibility lays, because that is, with my clients, I see that where the biggest shift happens. So I would go after books that would empower me, books that are written in taking back your own power, because everything else will fall into place. Oh, and okay. And the Eckhart Tolle, I like A New Earth. It gives a little bit of a more spiritual perspective to things. So that is, I loved when that came out. I think it was in 2008, very
yes.
Timely for me.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, of course, I am a lot about health also, a lot about detoxification and the physical part, because what I've seen is, and that is so inspiring to me, is that you can take a body that's so clogged up and so sick and start detoxifying. It's like cleaning the house, the veil goes down, and the mental and the spiritual part just follows. It's like you cannot separate it even then. You detoxify the physical body and you go into an emotional detox, or you get a lot of dreams that you start to follow, or you change your job because you didn't enjoy working there. So all of this can also happen together. And that's why I have to mention the Miracle Source book by Dr. Robert Morse, which I think is a great inspiration.
Good.
For those that want to dig into those things. Very easily written also.
Okay, excellent. So how do you use this thing called the internet?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm a Facebook girl. I started on Facebook and I have met so many amazing people and my business started that way. So I'm still connected to Facebook a lot and I love it. I have my own website and of course I'm on all of the social medias, but it's Facebook kind of is my baby. When it comes to my professional life, I use something called Basecamp, which connects my clients to me, which I'm very happy with. I'm a big fan of YouTube. I have my own channel and I have some videos out. I'll be doing a lot more of those. And then the last thing I'd like to mention would be Sparkle, which is a platform of online courses where I have my course, and they're kind of in the starting place right now, and they're growing really fast. It's a great place to check out for online education.
Okay, good. So Hilda, do you have any special offers for our listeners?
Well, my detoxification program is so good for those who wants to start a journey to a better health that I thought that I would give a special code out for all the listeners for the next 2 weeks that wants to try it. And I'll give a 50% off if you use the code Discover Your Talent, where it says, do you have a coupon code?
Okay.
So for the next 2 weeks, you can use that and get a 50% off, which will be from $99 and be, you know, half of that. And that is giving you access to this 5-day program, which has everything that you need. I mean, it has a shopping list. It has all the recipes for every day. It has a video every day. There is meditations, techniques. I mean, it's just a whole myriad of information packed in one. So if you want to start to see what this can do for you and let me know how it goes, I mean, just go to my website, send me an email or something. I love to know how people, what they think.
Okay, excellent. I hope listeners will take you up on that. So what do you see happening in the next handful of years in your life? What's your vision going forward?
I am very inspired by the future right now. And the video, I like audio and video. I like being visual and I like talking. So I am going to be doing a lot more online programs because that will reach most people, definitely. So that on top of the books that I'm working on, I mean, that's going to take some time. Yeah, books and more videos and, of course, just growing and evolving myself. I always do that. I mean, you can never start doing that. You never get to anywhere and you're not ever done educating yourself. So I learn every single day. And I mean, that is on top of my list. And whatever life flowed towards me, I'm just open because I'm so amazed at what can happen when you're open.
Yes.
That less planning is a good plan.
Yeah, yes, yes. So what are you proudest of in your life today?
Well, I'm very proud of my two children. I have to mention that because you cannot bypass when you have two amazing grown-up children. So I'm very proud to have been a mother and still am a mother to them. I'm proud of just being a fellow human. And as far as my work life, that we could call it, I don't even see it as something to be proud of, more that it's very satisfying for me to be able to serve and help. And it sounds maybe cliché-ish, but, you know, it really isn't. It's just every day that I can be of service and just be so fortunate enough to be able to spend my time doing. It's just, I'm proud that I dared to go there.
Yes. Hilda Larson, what a great pleasure being with you today. We so appreciate you sharing the highlights of your amazing journey, and I know that our listeners have learned lessons that will help them on theirs. So tell us again the connecting points. How do people get in touch with you?
Well, I have my website, which is called inspiredbyhilda.com. I also have a Facebook page, which is also called Inspired by Hilda. If you go to my website, you'll see everything. I mean, you can connect with me directly there. You can go to all my social media places, you know, just by clicking. And you can go to the detox program that I have all through my website. So I would just, you know, remember that. Inspiredbyhilda.com. Really easy.
Excellent. Excellent. Listeners know you can go to discovertalentpodcast.com and click on the podcast section and find Hilda's illuminating show notes and get the highlights of that as well as these links as well. I want to thank you, listeners across the world, for joining us today. As always, we have an ebook, What Do Highly Successful People Actually Do to Succeed? 12 Proven Career Building Strategies to Help You Do What You Love. We hope you'll take advantage of that. It's free, and we've had great feedback from listeners around the world. It's a thought starter. It's a kickstarter for your life and career. Hilda Larson has mentioned many of those principles today in our interview, in fact. You can also subscribe for free on iTunes and Stitcher. We'd love for you to be a part of our tribe and tell us how we can serve you better. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We can't ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive. We thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.